All right, what do you see? If you saw a crocodile, that probably means you're most likely someone who tends to look at the bigger picture of things. If you saw the boat, it's a little boat there, it could mean that you have a good eye for small detail. Another one, what do you see first when you look at this picture? If you saw the pillars first, it could mean that you prefer comfort and security over most things. If you saw the people first, it may mean that you are a free spirit who's ready to leave your current surroundings at the drop of a hat. There you go. One more. Well, when you're young, you're happy to leave your security. If you saw the car, there's actually a car there. If you saw the car first, it means that freedom is very important to you. If you saw the little guy with the binoculars, it may mean that you're a more analytical person. There you go. I wouldn't read too much into any of that. It was just a bit of fun. But what I do want to ask you this morning is, what do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see when you look in the mirror? And the other question I want to pose to you today is, what do you see when you look to the future? Because lots of voices in our lives speak into what we see when we look in the mirror. And lots of noises out there and news reports and everything else and opinions speak into what we see when we look to the future. But this morning I want us to refocus and, if necessarily, repent of agreeing with what other people say and come into agreement with what God says in His Word. Aren't we thankful for His Word? I love Proverbs 29:18, and it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation of that is, where there's no revelation. And the Hebrew, the Old Testament, was written in that word Hebrew, and that word revelation actually means God's revelation. God's revelation. So where there's none of God's revelation, the people cast off restraint. And what that means is to be stripped of their best ornaments, God's favor and protection. So in other words, if we don't get God's revelation on who He says we are and what He says about our future, then what happens is we can miss out on His favor and protection. Isn't that interesting? I want to ask you this morning, are you believing what God said about who you are, or are you believing what the world or, you know, critics? Are you believing God's word about what He says about your future, or you're believing what opinions out there? Because if we don't come into agreement with what God says about who we are and our future, then we can miss out on His favor and protection in our lives. We can live below what God has called us to live and miss out on some of His blessings. What do you think about when you think about the future? Well, we've heard it all, haven't we? Unemployment, a plague that won't go away, all kinds of terrible things. I've heard people say, you know, if America falls, we're all in trouble. Well, you know what? I haven't heard God say that. My security is not in America. It's in Jesus Christ. This morning I want to reassure you that if you're not sure that God has a vision or a revelation of who you are and who you can be, that He does. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and the future. You know, some people will say, oh, that was just for, you know, the Israelites in the Old Testament in Jeremiah's time. It's like, yeah, it was for them, but it's always also for us too. You know what? It served its purpose for the Israelite nation back then. That word is speaking to us today. And you know what? God said that they'd just been overrun by the Babylonian Empire. Massive empire, and these people have been taken away, and a lot of them into captivity. The city of Jerusalem had been absolutely smashed apart, and here's God, right? Not saying, oh, you poor people, and He was doing that too, because God's a loving and supportive, but He's giving a message of hope. In the midst of mess and destruction, God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Is that a good word? Can someone get on the news and share that tonight? That would be awesome. That God has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. And I loved Steve's testimony. I loved all the testimonies this morning, but it's been our witness too. I mean, my two kids, one wasn't even looking for a job, ended up with a job. Isn't unemployment supposed to be high? We've had a great year financially as well, and I know other families have it as well. Like God, I love the factors. I think God laughs at the opinions of the world. I think he laughs at the opinions of the world. He goes, really? You think that? Watch me do this. And if we position ourselves in relationship with him and to receive that all that he has for us, you know, I think we can live counterculturally as well. Praise God. When the world's going this way, or when the world's going that way, we can go this way, I think is a better illustration. So it's got 2 points this morning, and that's those two things I've talked about. Firstly, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to come out of agreement with all the criticism we may have received in our lives, whether it comes from parents or school peers or work peers or wherever it comes from. We need to come out of agreement and come into agreement with what God says. And this is what God says about us. If you're not familiar with Psalm 139, this is David, right? King David. He wrote a lot of the Psalms. And he also wrote this other interesting verse in the Bible. It says, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. So you know what? David was a guy who understood rejection. David was a guy who could have had a really bad story about who he was. But he found God. And through finding God, he found God's identity for him, not the world's identity for him, not his family's identity for him, but God's identity for him. So he went from saying, though my mother and father forsake me, he goes into saying, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The word fearfully means he was in awe of how God created him. Do you ever do that? When you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, are you in awe? Or do you go, oh? Or do you avoid the mirror in the morning? Don't avoid. You know what? I don't care if you got to drag that carcass out of bed and drag it in front of the mirror. You need to be in awe of what God's created. Does that make sense? Because he created you good. And it doesn't matter if you feel like rubbish when you get out of bed. You need to crawl in front of a mirror and say, whoa, God, that's awesome. It'll come to life soon, but it's awesome. Hey? We need to come into alignment with God's word. He says that you're awesome. So we need to just agree with him. Is that okay? Can we just agree with him? Because when we get up in the morning and say, oh, what happened there? We're coming into agreement with the world, friends. And that's not going to serve you well. To be in agreement with the critics. Don't be in agreement with the critics or the people trying to sell beauty products or that non-aging rubbish. Man, we're all going to age. I'm embracing mine. I've worked hard to get the grey here. I wear this as a badge because it says I've survived the planet for 50 years. Hey, don't hide your old age. It's about time we celebrate it. The Bible celebrates old age. Doesn't try to hide it. See, we want to be countercultural. We've got to celebrate old age. That's a crown. It says a crown the Bible talks about, right? We just make sure the world's lies don't get into your thinking process and you come into agreement with them without even realizing it. Identify them and say, you know what, I'm not going to agree with that rubbish. I'm going to agree with what God says. You know, the other thing I love about the Bible is nowhere in the Bible talks about retirement. How cool is that? You will not find the word retirement in the Bible. Now, if you want to retire, that's fine. Just means you can do more of what God wants you to do and less of what you have to do to earn a living. But the word retirement, that's not a biblical culture thing. That's a worldly culture. We need to align our lives with what the Bible says and live according to that if we want to see God's hope in our future and see God's prosperity in our future. The other word there is wonderfully. When the word wonderfully means excellent or remarkable. Excellent or, you know, when someone says, how are you? Do you say, I'm excellent and I'm remarkable? Hey, I dare you. Next time someone says, how are you? Say, you know what? God says, I'm excellent and I'm remarkable and I agree with him. Hey, especially in our Aussie culture. You're going to get some funny looks, but I dare you because we need to change the culture of Australia. where we encourage each other. That's changed in the last 20 or 30 years better than it used to be. You know, if you encouraged someone 20 years ago, they thought you were, something was wrong with you. But these days, we're getting better at encouragement. But, you know, let's do that. You know, how are you today? I'm remarkable. I'm remarkable. Because that's what God says. He says you are remarkable. And the other thing is, when we come into relationship with God, Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but received a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So Psalm 139 is for everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. But this in Romans 8, is when we come into relationship with Jesus, we become, this blows me away, the Bible says, heirs with Christ. Heirs with Christ. I get to inherit what Christ inherits. That blows my mind. That God the Father becomes my dad. And he's not a dodgy dad. He's a good father. And he brings me security and he brings me provision. And I'm one of his kids. I don't know about you, but try and touch one of my kids and see what happens. And every dad knows that. You try and touch someone's kids, I'll be there, right? How much more the Father? Can we trust the Father? When we come into a relationship with Jesus, can we trust the Father to protect us? Yeah, my prayer, and so far it's come true, and I'll keep praying it. I've prayed that no one I love or care about gets COVID. No one has yet. Hey? And I shared it last week. I'll share it again because I keep praying it since I've learned it. Is that shield, the shield of faith, it's not a little shield. It's a full body shield in Ephesians 6. And it's not only meant for us. It's meant for those we love. So when I picture this full body shield now, I picture you all behind that thing. And we pray that for each other. You know, and the Romans used to line up all their shields, these full body shields, line them all up, and behind that, those guys were safe. And when the shield of faith, which is I believe God will protect me, is that shield. And I believe God will protect my family. I believe God will protect my friends, those I love, my Christian brothers and sisters. Let's believe for that, hey, because God's a good father. And you know what? The other thing is, we get our identity from that stuff. That's what helps. I remember sitting in a church service when I was probably 14 or 15, and you ever done this? You find yourself sitting in a particular way, and you have this sudden awareness, I'm just expressing a mannerism of my father. And it just freaks you out, or of my mother. But you know, the same is true when we come into relationship with Jesus. We start to take on the attributes of our Father. We take on the security that comes from. And so, you know, we get our identity initially from our mums and dads and other influences as we're growing up. But as we become Christians, start to align ourselves with God the Father and Jesus, then what happens is, he reflects back to us who he sees us to be. And so I get this image of myself as he wants me to see, instead of how, you know, mum and dad might have been great, but they're not God. And so we get this image from God of who he sees us to be. Have you got that image this morning? I pray, if you haven't, that next time you look in the mirror, you'll celebrate God's goodness to you. I used to have issues, you know, with the colour of my skin. Should have been in Wales or so. I used to surf on the Sunshine Coast. There's a bad idea if you want to avoid melanoma farming. But, you know, I was born with the skin I was born with. And as a teenager, that was, my nickname in high school. Anyone ever had a surf mat? Anyone old enough to have a surf mat? Anyone remember a surf mat? Man, those things were dangerous. And we went out in the surf at Markula. We used to have a church picnic every Australia Day. And me and my cousin were out in the surf on the surf mat much longer than we should have been. And you think my face is red now. You should see it when I'm sunburnt. I can light up the town. And so then we're going into year 11, right? And so some kids have come into our year 11 and never seen me before. This one kid gave me a nickname. What was it? Indiana Red Face Jones. That was my nickname, right? And I didn't even know what he was talking about for the first 3 months. And then he said, oh, you know, I've ended up becoming friends with the guy to some degree. And then he explains, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. I did shine for a couple of days back there. And you know what? In my early 20s, I came to the point where I just had to accept that's how God wanted me, with a red face. And that's okay. And that's good. Can we just accept that? Can we just look in the mirror and say, you know what, God made me with green eyes or brown eyes, and that's okay. He made me with brown hair, black hair, grey hair, and that's okay. Because the Bible says I was fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what the passage talks about? God put a lot of thought into creating us. We're not an accident. There's no such thing as an accident on the planet when it comes to the birth of a baby. Because in the womb of a mother, God has put much thought into the face of our shape, the color of our skin, the color of our hair, our personality. And that's why we celebrate that stuff. And you know what? I've learned to celebrate that. So people can say what they like about me. I couldn't care less. I'm God's masterpiece. Yeah. I haven't always looked after it as well as I should have. And we should. We should, shouldn't we? Because we're God's masterpiece. And we need to get a revelation about that. Say, God, you made me good, and I want to take care of what you've given me while I'm on this planet and use it well. Can we get that revelation this morning? And my second point is we need to see our future as God sees it. Jeremiah 1:4 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to as a prophet to the nations. Now, there's a word that came to Jeremiah when he was a young guy, and God's given him a calling. Yeah, I believe everything is a calling. You just got to find what your calling is. An example I love to use is that of my mum. She went off to Salvo College and then realized that what actually wasn't her calling to become a Salvation Army pastor. And she went back and ended up going into nursing. And, you know, when I was in high school, one of my friends went and did work experience with my mum and raved about how great mum was. And I didn't really experience a lot of, you know, I was never in hospital. And when I had a problem, oh, mum, I got a pain in the tummy. Mum would put the matron voice on and say, well, you better go to the doctor. Oh, I'm all right. Well, get off to school then. But she was compassionate. She was great. But, you know, when I saw the power of her calling was one time when at Westlakes, the church we were at before this, a lady had been assaulted by her son. And she didn't want to go to the police or the doctor. I said, look, my mum's down. You know my mum. She's a nurse. Can we just come around and see that you're okay? And this lady had a bruised face. You know, me and my mum came in. And I watched my mum just cradle her face in her hand. And this lady began to weep. It's probably the most powerful example of mercy I've ever seen in my life. I thought, wow, here's the calling of my mother manifesting. No wonder she was a great nurse, because God had given her a gift of mercy that can move people's hearts and move them to help them feel cared for. What's your calling? What's God's future for you? And you know what? I don't care how young or old you are. Some of you have heard me talk about a guy who became a Christian when he was 70. And the last 10 years of his life were the most fruitful for God of his 80 years. So don't ever think it's too late. Say, God, you know, you take God. God loves this, right? When you take him at his word. You know, Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, we're not going. Moses said to God, Moses took God at his word. When God wanted to destroy the people for, you know, worshipping the golden calf, and I think it's just a test for Moses, really. Moses said to God, if you destroy these people and you've said that your people, what are the other nations going to think? Moses was bold enough to hold God to his word. Friends, we can do that. So you can say, God, you've said that you've got a hope and a future for me. Show me. Show me the money, God. And it's not being rude, it's being, you know, be respectful, but God wants us to actually, remember, he responds to faith. He loves us all, but he responds to faith. So we put faith in his word and say, God, you said that you've got a hope and a future for me. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm believing for it. Yeah. Where's that open door? Where's that opportunity? Yeah. Show me the money. Yeah. You want to pray like that this week? I pray like that these days. I've had some doors shut recently. I've had some others open. That's okay. God's just directing me. Sometimes he uses open, shut doors. Sometimes if I'm listening, he just speaks into my mind or heart or desires. We're going to think about it this morning. You might want to think about what are your strengths. That's sometimes how we work out what our future is. What's your strengths? Like my mum's strength was mercy. I love people. I just love people. You know, ministry is a joy for me because I just love people. The admin side's a pain in the butt. Thank you, Tegan. I appreciate your work deeply. And everyone else that does any admin towards helping this church run. I can do it. It's like, okay, but it's not my passion. But you know how much joy I get out of it. You know, God knows your strengths and weaknesses, and usually our future will line up with what we love to do. Yeah. You know that Cheryl volunteered at our family store for how long before you got the job as manager? 23 years, and then God decides, through me, to give her a job there, which means she can then get paid for what she loves to do. How ridiculous is that? I get paid to do what I love to do. Hey, is that the God we serve? Who else gets paid to do what they love to do? Lots of people do, you know? And I think that's, start believing. When I was a kid, I thought, oh, if I follow God, he'll send me to Siberia. God's never going to send me to Siberia. You know why? I don't like the cold. Now, you know, it's interesting. As I've served God and got to know him more and more, I do have a heart for the Pacific nations, South Pacific, you know. Like, God ever sends me to PNG, man, I'm there. Or to, you know, Vanuatu or even to Africa. Like, I just go because I just love the heat. Doesn't bother me. Does that make sense? Like, God's not a, I'll find what they hate the most and make them serve me there. That's not the God we serve. God's a God who loves, and he's actually wired us up for our calling. So when he knit us together in our mother's womb, he also was wiring us up, ready for when we come into relationship with him and to fulfill our calling. So my personality, right? I'm one of the most patient people I know, and part of that's my personality. I can sit and listen to people for hours. Now, if I was a driver personality, I'd struggle to do that. But God's lined up my personality with my calling. Does that make sense? God knows exactly what he's doing, so we can trust him with all that stuff. So to get what God has for us, so to receive his favor, his protection, all that stuff we talked about, to not cast off restraint, the opposite of that, we need to see what God sees. We need to have God's revelation about who we are and what our future is going to be like. So this morning I want to ask you if you have that. Are you in agreement with what the Bible says about your value and how great you are? What we talked about before. Are you in agreement with that? And if not, and you know, because you know those times we look in the mirror and start getting critical. Oh yeah, the real test is when we stuff up on something. What's your self-talk like when you stuff up? Do you go, oh, well, that's okay, I'll do better next time. Or do you go, oh, you know, I'm an idiot, I always do the wrong thing. You know, that's an indicator of whether we're in agreement with God's word. Or whether we're in agreement with all the criticism we've heard from who knows how many places in our past. And we need to repent this morning. Maybe we need to repent. And you know, repentance is just turning around, right? So if we are, I just walked off the screen. How funny is that? I can't do that anymore. How hilarious. I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah, zoom me out. Can you zoom me out? That's all right. But I want to illustrate repentance because it's turning around, okay? So if we are going through life going, you know, I'm not that great and I don't know, my future's looking bleak and blah, 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 we need to come into alignment with God's word and repent, which means we change our thinking and we start to go, you know what, God says I'm awesome. And we live by faith, right? So when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, you may not see it yet, right? It took me a few years to look in the mirror and celebrate. But you're going to say, God says I'm awesome. So I'm going to believe that I'm awesome. I'm going to come into alignment with God's word. God says I have a hope and a future. Now, you know, last year, for some of you know, one of the jobs me and Melissa ran, the Salvo's Discipleship School, shut down. And I was surprised how well I navigated that. You know why? Because I believe God's still got heaps in my future for the next 15 years or longer. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment. And I just believe another door's going to open in maybe a year or two or three. That's just what I believe. Because I trust God's. When I look back the last 20, 30 years, I just see God's faithfulness. So why isn't God going to be faithful in the next two or three or four or 10 years? Of course he is. So I believe that he has a hope and a future for me. I'm in agreement with that. Does that make sense? So this morning, you know, sometimes we hear the word repent as well, repent, you know. There's nothing more than just changing our mind. Just change your mind about yourself. Make sure your mind, what you believe about yourself, lines up with God's word. And it's not just what we've shared this morning. There's heaps of stuff in God's word. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are, exclamation mark. I love the exclamation mark. That is what we are, the children of God. You know, who are you? I love a friend of mine, Bruce Williams. Bruce, is that your last name, Williams?
Yeah.
It is. Sorry, Bruce, if you're watching. I love it. I say, he introduces himself as a lover of Jesus. What a weirdo. I love that. Hey? Next time someone says, oh, hi, who are you? Oh, I'm a child of the King. Oh, look at you, weird. There's an opportunity for a testimony right there, if they hang around long enough to hear it. Hey, let's get out. Let's walk in our identity. Let's live out of who we are, hey? Let's do that. All right, so this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that today by simply praying this prayer. And I think we're going to have one on the screen, and you can look at that if you like. But I'm going to pray a different prayer, so if that confuses you, just close your eyes. But I want to pray this prayer this morning. So close your eyes, and if you agree with this prayer in your heart today, I encourage you to do that. Lord Jesus, I realize that I have been running my own life, and that I've sinned against you by doing this. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. I want to be the kind of person you want me to be. I want to receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Amen. So this morning I want to pray, if you pray that prayer for the first time, or you know, pray it again after not praying for a long time, let us know on the care cards. Because we'd love to support you in any way we can with that. But also I want to pray for all those who may be struggling online or in the room with how you see yourself, how you see your future. I just want to pray into that so you can receive this prayer for yourself this morning. If you're struggling, if you know you're in agreement with criticism or hopelessness or whatever that may be, let's get out of agreement with that and into agreement with God's word this morning. Lord God, I pray for anyone this morning who's not in agreement with your word about who they are. And Lord, I just thank you that you made us good. You don't make no junk. You don't make no mistakes. And Lord, help us, help each person this morning, and help us all actually to become more fully in agreement, more fully in agreement, a greater revelation of who you've made us to be. That we are to celebrate. We celebrate your creation when we look at a tree or a sunset or the beach. We go, wow, God. Lord, help us to look in the mirror and go, wow, God. Hey, you created us as beautiful and as awesome as any sunset, as any forest, as any beach. Help us to live that out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that next time we hear on the news doom and gloom about the future, that we will bind those words in the name of Jesus. And that we will speak out of our mouths. We believe God is a God that's given us a hope and a future. If we believe in your name, Lord Jesus, we will believe that you've given us, no matter what circumstances are like, you are a countercultural God. And you've given us a hope and a future. Help us to see it. Help us to agree with it. Help us to walk into it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's